The words for our meditation this morning are found in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. There Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. The people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place, and the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I used to work with a woman named Marcy. She's a preschool teacher, and she had this amazing ability. She could walk into a room that was swarming with preschoolers, playing tag and goofing around. She could walk into that room, and with just a few words, they would suddenly be quiet, and they would go and sit down and listen intently to what she was saying. It's not because they feared that she was going to yell at them. I've seen teachers who yell at their students, and it doesn't work. No, when she walked in and said in that small voice of hers, the children knew that they needed to listen. They wanted to hear what she was going to say, and so they would sit down and listen to her. These days, a lot of people want God to speak more loudly. Some even would be interested in seeing him thunder from the heavens like he did in the days of old when he spoke to the Israelites that way at the mountain. Some people would really like to see that because they figure that will get people's attention. But it wouldn't. It didn't for the Israelites, and it wouldn't for anyone else either. But thankfully, God does not need to raise his voice. He's not hard of hearing. His truth, his word has never changed. He speaks quietly and calmly to his children, to us, and we hear and we listen. In the text, Elijah was running away and hiding out. And this wasn't a child's game. He was running because King Ahab and Jezebel intended to silence him. They didn't want to listen to the prophecies that the Lord had given to him. They wanted to just shut him up. And Elijah was afraid they'd put him to the sword like they had so many other prophets. And so he ran a day's journey into the wilderness and he despaired. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." He naturally assumed that in his country evil had won and the whole nation was against him and against the Lord. And he assumed that God somehow was not hearing him and answering him. He imagined somehow that God, I suppose, is sort of hard of hearing. But Elijah was truly the one who was not hearing what God was saying. In our text it says, Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and God said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left." He thought he was the only one. "And they seek my life to take it away." I think we would all be a little more than miffed and scared if we were in his shoes that day. We would easily come to the conclusion that God was not hearing us, not hearing our prayers. So God said to him, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke it in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord wasn't in any of those. Then came the sound of a low whisper. God certainly could have yelled. I think he makes that clear. How could this prophet, of all people, how could this fellow who had seen the Lord in action, how could Elijah be so deaf to God's word? When we think about our doubts and our fears, I think we're a lot like this prophet. God doesn't speak to us with a raised voice and with an upraised fist in anger. God is not hard of hearing, as some people suppose. And he doesn't speak to us in anger. In fact, over and over again, he says that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He didn't treat Elijah as his sins deserved, and he doesn't treat us as we deserve either. The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes the sword of Hazael shall put Jehu to death, and the one who escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death, and I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Did you ever wonder why God puts that much detail in there? It's because he knew what he was about to do. The follies of Israel were not going to foil God's designs. He spoke to Elijah with a still, small voice and shared with him some of those intricate details of how all of this was going to happen. And most importantly, he recalled to the prophet's mind the promise that he had made to Israel to preserve the line of the coming Savior. God here says that he will preserve these 7,000 faithful people in Israel. Elijah wasn't cut off from other believers, even though that's what he thought. Elijah was not cut off from the body of Christ in Israel. And the Son of God was coming. And it's the Son of God who would raise his voice. But again, not in anger. He would raise his voice for us, not at us. In the eternal conversation of the Holy Trinity, before time even began, God the Son volunteered to be our Savior. Before time even began, before mankind had entered into sin in the Garden of Eden, we had an advocate, one who defends us. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem us who are under the law. God entered quietly into our human race. And yes, the angel Gabriel announced this to Mary, but that great event would otherwise have passed unnoticed. And what do we know of Jesus' childhood? So very little. It went unnoticed, even though he was perfect in every way. And then from obscurity and great humility, the Son of God and Son of Man lifted up his voice to preach the message, the good news. And what a message it is. He preached that the kingdom of God was near. He preached that God loves us, loves all the world. He preached new life into people, not because they heard and figured it out, but because the words of his mouth were the words of God himself. By his powerful proclamation, some of those Israelites believed, and even some Gentiles believed. They heard that gentle message that God forgives sins because of what Jesus was going to do. They heard that Jesus was going to fulfill John the Baptizer's words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And like a sheep before its shears is silent, so Jesus did not raise his voice in anger or cursing. He had every right to do so. But instead, he went to the cross willingly. He had every right to condemn our sins and our unbelief and our doubt, just like he had every right to be angry at Elijah all those years before. So often we disregard what he has to say. So often we are hard of hearing. But instead, he went to the cross willingly. And there he cried out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In that moment, he was suffering the just sentence and the punishment for all our sins, all our doubts, all our unbelief. He was suffering all of that in that moment for us. And then he proclaimed, "It is finished. It's paid in full," is what he said. And then he commended his spirit into his Father's hands. And you would think at that pivotal moment in all of history, you would think that everybody would be paying attention. You'd think that would be such a loud and important event that everyone would hear about it. But it went all but unnoticed in the records of Rome. It's mentioned just as a footnote. And then came words of Christ that truly shattered the whole world and made a new one. He said to Mary and the women at the empty tomb, "Fear not." Think about that. Here's the man who lived and died and lived again, the resurrected Lord. He didn't need to shout. He's not hard of hearing. Jesus raised his voice for us, and that means a lot of things. Among them, we don't need to shout at him. We need to remember who he is. So many people these days think that we practically have to shout at God. You hear this all the time. Pray harder. So many people say, "Be bolder. Otherwise, you're just not a very good Christian." All the world is dazzled by those who burn the brightest in the eyes of men. But to you, I say today, consider who God is. Consider how he has treated you. He did not come to you in that wind that tore the mountains apart. He did not come to you with fire and earthquakes, but instead he came to you through this quiet word, the word of God, the Bible. And he worked in you the most powerful of miracles by giving you life-giving faith and eternal life in Christ. He forgives you. He gives you eternal life. He even sends his own Spirit to dwell in your hearts and to make you ready for the heavenly places. And you hear his quiet voice. And you believe. And you listen. You don't need to shout. God hears you. God knows you. You don't need to pray harder or feel your sins more earnestly and weep or do this or that. Christ loved you before you were even born. Christ came into this world to save sinners like you and me. He called you to be his own. Do you think that God is hard of hearing? Do you think that we need to put on a big display to impress him? Instead, think about the blessed and beautiful thing that God has given to us. He has spoken to us through his word, and he has told us that we may come to him as a child comes to his dear father, and we can ask anything of him, and he promises to hear. Your prayers are heard. He listens. And you have a bold existence, but not the way that the world defines boldness. Your boldness is found in God's promises. Chief among them that you are saved from sin and death and the power of the devil by the Son of God himself. Elijah heard the still small voice, and he knew. You do too. You hear that small voice of God, and like those little children in Marcy's classroom, you quiet your heart down and you listen to what he has to say. You don't need pyrotechnics or buzzwords or driving lyrics. You know his voice. You hear it. Listen to him. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.